I have some thoughts this morning that I've been thinking on this week, and it possibly may seem like I go in a roundabout manner to maybe possibly make my point this morning, but I do have a thought that I want to look at today. I want to take a reading lesson out of the second chapter of the book of Peter. I'm going to start reading in the first chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 14 in the first chapter of the second book of Peter. Maybe I said that wrong a minute ago, but first chapter of the second book of Peter, starting in verse 14. It says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." In this, our thoughts this morning, I want to focus on these last two verses as we've been trying to study in our thoughts this week. They've went several different directions, but I want to focus our thoughts on these 20th and 21st verse. Now, Apostle Peter here in the beginning of our reading is making a statement or a fact that knowing that he must put off this tabernacle, or that he's going to have to put off this earthly body one of these days. We all that know and understand that this old earthly body that we have, according to what the Bible teaches, is going to go back to the dust that it was formed from. And that the soul that is inside of us, that if we've been saved by God's grace, we'll go to heaven. And those that have not been saved will be in hell. And that one day when the Lord comes back on a day of judgment, that those of us that have been saved by God's grace will be given a glorified body, a body that is without sin, a body that is perfect. There will be no sickness in this body. There'll be no sin in this body. And those that have not, the Bible tells that those bodies will be a horrible sight. And I'm just paraphrasing that because I can't remember the exact words of what it says. But they will be awful. And they will be full of pain. And they will be full of suffering and sorrow for eternity. But the Apostle Peter here said he knew that the time is coming that he's going to have to put these things off. But he wanted the people that he was speaking to here to know and understand that the truths that had been presented to him, that they were not cunningly devised fables, that it was not something, they were not preaching of a God just to try to gain power in or authority in man's eye. They weren't trying to do this to gain a popularity between the people. They wasn't doing it to try to make themselves, big in the church. The things that they were preached, that they preached, the apostles that he's speaking about here, the things that they preached was the things that was given to them by God. And, you know, there's a, I guess I've got several things that I want to try to mention today about possibly some of the thoughts of that the world has today. But, you know, it's important. One of the most important things for somebody that is lost is to know that this book that we read is the book of God. That this book that we read was divinely inspired. It was God breathed. It was given, the Bible says, over, I believe, into the book of 2 Timothy. We'll turn there quickly and read that it says that all Scripture, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, God told these men what to write. These holy men that He had chosen to write His Word, He gave them the words to put down, to pin down for this, for us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. We see that as we know and understand that God has inspired, He breathed the words, His word that He wanted the world to know. He gave these holy men the understanding of what He wanted said, and they put it down. They put it down with a quill and paper or scroll. What the Holy Spirit dictated to them to put down. And it's important for anyone that is lost to, first of all, know and believe that this is truly the Word of God. Because if you don't believe that what you read out of this Bible or what somebody preaches out of this Bible, if you come to the understanding that there's something in there that's not true, then you can't believe when I speak about Jesus. When I speak about the gospel message that's presented through the gospels, you can't believe that or understand that. So if you can't believe the writings of the Word of God, then you can't have faith in God if you don't believe. It's the basis of belief, because this is where we get the teachings of the truth of God's Word. And without these teachings of the truth of God's Word, then you know, we would be lost. But He says, I have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now, to get in a little bit, we preach and teach out of the King James Version of the Bible. It is a translation that comes from, I guess, the 1611 version of the Bible. Now, there's been a lot of different translations. You know, there may be error found in a translation. But we believe with all our heart and mind that the inspired Word of God that was given to the original manuscripts of God's people is perfect. There is no error. There is no flaw. And that this is a translation that brings out the truth of God's Word. There are translations of the Bible today that goes all the way to the point of taking the virgin birth of Jesus out of it. That Mary was not a virgin. That there was nothing miraculous about Christ in His birth. They take the gender out of the Bible. I guess I don't know of all the different things, but I would assume probably nowadays that you can just probably about find whatever you want to believe. I truly do. I'd say you could find it. If you look for it, you could find whatever you want to believe. But, you know, this the things that was revealed to these men, you know, a revelation is a communication of the truth that could not otherwise be discovered. That's what a revelation is. And an inspiration has to do with that revealed truth. See, when God revealed to these men that He had to write this Bible, He gave them what He wanted to say. And through and by the aid of the Holy Spirit of God, He illuminated the eyes of those that heard the Word, that heard the truth. His Holy Spirit was the part that let us know that this was true. See, I made the mention in the open service today, you know, when I was a young boy, about that I didn't have any money. I couldn't afford to pay for salvation. You know, when I was a young boy, I also wasn't able to understand everything that the Bible had to teach. And I still don't today. And I probably never will. But I do know and understand that with the reading of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the teaching of God's Word, that the Holy Spirit of God is able to take the message and bring it down to the youngest child, to the oldest person alive. The Holy Spirit of God is able to penetrate the truth into the hearts of those that would believe, those that would trust, those that would have faith. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that opens the eyes. Those that are lost, the Bible says that they are in darkness. They're not able to see the truth, the light. But with the illumination or with the aid of the Holy Spirit of God, God takes these words that He has had these holy men to pen. And He impresses these things upon our minds. He tells us about sin. See, we have a Bible here that is so contrary to the ways of man in that it points out sin. We as man, I know it was made mention in Sunday school this morning that a carnal mind is enmity with God. Our carnal minds, the way that we would want to be or the things that we would want to do is completely contrary to what God wants us to be. We were born into this world a sinner, and we have to turn to God to get back into fellowship with Him. We were born with a depraved nature from the fall of Adam, from the very beginning. We were born with that depravity and that nature. And so that enmity that's in our mind, that sinful nature that it's embedded into us, is something that we have to put behind us. And the only way that we can do that is believing the Word of God. Believing the gospel message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how Christ died for the sins of this world, and that you must believe in Him and trust in Him to the salvation of your soul. You have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate the preaching and the teachings of the truth of God's Word in your life and in your mind. You have to allow that Holy Spirit to penetrate and work its effects upon you, that you might be saved. There's going to be a lot of people in this world die and go to a devil's hell. You know, they may have read the Bible. They may know all the history about Jesus, may know a lot of things, may have been to church all their life, but they never truly believed. They never believed unto the salvation of their soul. They never truly repented of their sins that the Bible teaches them about. They never truly gave it all over to God that He would save their soul. You know, you think about this book and what it contains. It's a book that was written by some 40 different people over a period of 1,600 years. 66 different books that come together as one book in perfect harmony from front to back. What's the odds of that? Had it not been divinely inspired by an almighty God? Had it not been what God wanted this world to hear? What He wanted those that have been saved to hear? How those can be saved? Had He not done all these things? Had it not worked like it had? You know, you think about how long does a book last, you know? I guess the longevity of or a life of a book, you know, some of them really, I guess some books, you know, they'll last a long time, you know, because of their popularity. Well, this one book is the most popular book that's ever been written. But yet, once upon a time and in history, it was a book that was that the Romans tried so hard to destroy. There was a period of time that was called the Dark Ages, a period of 300 to 400 AD to 1600 AD, somewhere along in there. There was a period of time that the Romans took it upon themselves to control church and state, and that anybody that was claiming to be a Christian, that to believe in Jesus Christ and not to follow after their hierarchy or their church leadership, then they were killed. There was a decree that was put out by one of the Roman emperors. I believe his name was Diocletian, and around 303, that anybody that was a Christian was to be killed, and if they had a Bible, that every Bible that they could find and round up was to be burned by fire. And it had come to the point almost that when they had done these things, that he had come to the conclusion after a period of years when everything was quiet and silent, that he had killed them all out and that he had destroyed all of God's Word. And he even made a decree and put it on a sign that, you know, that we've killed out the Christians, we can go back to serving our gods. See, these theories of not believing the truth of God's Word has been in existence for a long, long time. The devil placed those thoughts of doubt in the very beginning, in the garden. He deceived Eve in the very beginning of time. The very first two people that was upon this earth. God told man these things, and Adam told his wife, and the devil came and deceived her. Let's just turn over here quickly and look at that. I wasn't planning on going there, but I think it's worthy of noting this morning. In the third chapter, this is speaking about, I'll just read in the fourth verse here. It says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The devil lied to Eve and made her to believe that when she partook of the tree of life, that she would not die. When God had told them, she said, "But the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The devil knew that it wasn't going to be a physical death, that the body would die. He knew that there was something inside of them that was going to die, that was going to separate them from an almighty God. And from that point on, down through time and down through history, that inherited depraved nature has come upon mankind through all of life. And it'll stay that way through all eternity. The Lord knew that. And He understood that. But what did they see here? That your eyes would be open, that you should become as gods, that you'll, this knowledge that you'll have, this power that you'll have to become as gods. It was something that was enticing. It was something that made her want to go against an almighty God that created them. And yet, she did it anyway. Just as so much of this world today does. They perceive that they have the power to do whatever they want to do. Just as these Romans thought that they had the power to do whatever they want. To kill and to murder and to do all these things. The truth of God's Word was what had the effects. You know, it's a Bible that it has one doctrinal viewpoint. It has one moral standard, one way of salvation. All these things that we said, you know, 40 different writers written over a period of 1,600 years, 66 different books that was put together to be one. And it was all focused and pointed in the same direction. That people could be saved and live the way God wanted them to live. And also, the consequences for those that did not live the way that God wanted them to live, and the consequences for those that chose not to believe. He lays it out clearly and plainly in His Word. And it was all, and it's important for somebody to know and understand that believing what the Bible says is important. It's the basis of all belief. You got to believe that what the Bible says is true. The Bible carries with it a great authority. There's a great authority that's laid throughout in this Bible, and you know it's important that we understand and know the fear of God. There's a world, we live in a world today that does not fear God. They're not worried about the Lord coming back. They're not. But why? Because they don't believe in God. We live in a world today that our school systems teach a theory of evolution, that man came from a single atom and evolved up through time, and we were all once monkeys. We live in a world that our school systems teach that to our children today. Which is completely contrary to the teaching of God's Word, that He said He created everything. And we can turn over in the first of Genesis and just read the whole first two chapters. He created it all. God set it all into place. The light and the darkness. The sun and the moon. The stars and the firmament. The water. The dry land. God did it all. Why is it so hard for people to think about these things or understand them. I was reading a book that, looking at a book that Brother Sonny gave me not too long ago. He's telling about all these things about evolution and Darwinism. The effects of all these things. You know, it not only denies that God created everything, but there was a greater effects that come upon mankind. All these theories that come from just not believing that there is a God, or that this word was divinely inspired, that it was given for us, for instruction, for in righteousness, and for reproof, and for all the things that God intended it to be. You think about the theory of all this, you know, how that we ascended from amoeba, and you know that basically his theory was the big fish eats the little fish. The strong will prevail. And you think about it, and it was stuff that I'd never thought about or considered, but you think about you think about the German force in the Nazi time. How that they thought that they were a superior race of people, and how that they wanted to go and destroy everybody else because they were the superior race of people. How many people needlessly lost their lives because of the big fish eats the little fish theory? And it's reported in these that all these men, Stalin and Marx, the one, the leader of, I guess, the contributed to communism and all these different things, how they were followers after Darwin and all his theories and these things brought to them in their minds the starting of all this garbage that they thought. Still today, think about what racism is. Where does it boil from and where does it come from? It comes from a theory that somebody is better than somebody else. I think I'm better than you because my skin's this color. All this garbage started. Why? Because people don't believe the truth of God's Word. How many lives has been lost and how much blood has been shed over time because of these things? You can read the so many different things. The trail of blood that we have. Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells all the people that lost their lives because they were holding on to the truth, but yet there were those that wanted to kill them for what they believed. Because they didn't believe the truth. They didn't believe that God's Word was true. That Jesus came in the form of sinful flesh. That He was born of a virgin. That He died a death for us. That He lived this life sinless. To pay a debt for this whole world that man could not pay. For those that would believe and trust in Him that they might be saved. So many things come into effect. That book that I was reading says during the Holocaust, 55 million people were killed because they thought they were superior to them. We still live in a world today that rules over, don't it? You know, if I've got more money than you, then I'm superior to you. If you know, this attitude of there's still racism everywhere you turn. That's not what the Bible teaches, though. The Bible doesn't teach anything about that. He teaches us to be like Christ. The Bible teaches us that Christ was our example and to be like Him. Teaches us that Christ went to all publicans and the sinners, and even though that they criticized Him for doing that, that He did it anyway. and that he died for the sins of the whole world. Not just a select group of people. Not just Israel, as some people might say today. But he died for the whole world, for all that would believe. He would help all to come to repentance and trust in him that they might be saved. All. Everybody. I say all these things as I looked in the book of Revelation, and of course we all know that these things that are revealed to John the Revelator, things to come. In the seventh verse it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together in battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up into the breadth of the earth and passed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In this reading here, I believe we can turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we can look at it, and we can see that I don't know the exact period of time when Satan is going to be released. I don't know the exact period of time when this is all going to come into effect, but this, I believe, it teaches us that and I believe he is today, but I believe it's going to be in a great way, just as some of the things that I've talked about this morning is going to come back to us, into this country. It was spoke of this morning a little bit about how Israel turned away from God, and when they did, the Lord chastised them, and how that country fell. I believe that it's going to happen. I believe that this country is turning further and further away from God each and every day. They've tried to do everything in the world that they can do to take God out of anything that's governmental. Love to take it off the money if they didn't have to reprint it all, probably. And with the debt that they're already in, they can't afford that. They've tried so hard. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, it says, in chapter 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I believe that's still to come. I believe that's still to come in history. When's it going to be? I don't know. But it says don't be shaken. Don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled in spirit. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." From what this tells me, there's a day coming. This world is, they're coming, it's falling away. We're in that motion. This world is falling away. It truly is. And it says the son of perdition. I don't know if that's going to be Satan himself. There's many evil spirits, as we know here presently. But there's going to be one, and it's going to be one that exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. It's going to be a person that shows himself as God and puts himself above God. I believe these are things, not that's already happened, but things that is to come. Why did I say all these things about believing what's in the Bible? It's important for us to know what God's Word says. It's important for us to understand. I know there's many things that I don't understand. I'll be the first to admit it. There's a whole lot of this that I don't understand. But what worries me is the things that I do. What worries me is the things that I do see and know and understand. Lord's coming back one of these days. There's going to be some things that happen before He comes back. This world falls away. We have many examples that's given to us in His Word of history of what happens when it falls away. And Satan takes over this world. Be not troubled in mind or spirit. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we have a better place. Better place awaiting for us. I'm thankful to God this morning for that. If you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus, if you've never believed that what this Bible said was true, maybe it's time that you start. Maybe it's time that you come to the understanding of what God said was for you. What Jesus did was for you because He loved you. That He wanted you to be in a right relationship with Him. That when you died, that heaven would be your home. Because if you don't, if you never come to that right relationship, if you never allow the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate your heart and your mind with the truth of God's Word, then hell will be your home. Hell will be your home. He says that clearly in His Word. And He's going to send you there, in that place that He's prepared for the devil and his angels and the false prophet. The beast and the false prophet. See, God's prepared a place. He wants you to have the opportunity to not go there, but to serve Him and give Him honor and glory. I want to give an altar call this morning. Brother Bert, we have a song. You may not know where you stand before God. All I can do is ask you to turn to Jesus. Seek Him that you might be found. Repent, believe that you might be saved. Repent of your sins unto God. Believe in Jesus that died on the cross to pay for your sin debt, that you might be saved. Brother Burke.
Let's turn to page 129, sing the first and last verse. Don't you want to go to that happy home on high, where the good shall meet, yes, meet to bar no more, and shall live and reign for above the starry sky in that
we climb up on the golden shore. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? While we bleed and pray, make the start today. Jesus, did you come to that happy home? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Could you stand in judgment if you should die today? All that you have written, you must face, you know. Jesus now is pleading, he'll wash your sins away. To that home in glory, don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? While we plead and pray, make the start today. Jesus bids you come to that happy home. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go?
Appreciate this. Be another thought or word on anyone's heart. If not, let's be prayerful for the words today that God can use them. Fine with the church, that would be good for me. I know that I'll probably be going to the funeral home tonight, but I know there's with Mount Juliet, McFerrin, and Gateway, all their efforts will be starting tonight.
They'll be at 7.
No. I'm not sure the starting time. I'm not sure.
I guess how long the calendar up there.
Yeah.
Whatever the will of the church is fine. Okay. We'll dismiss tonight then to go visit our sister churches. And please do that. Please don't just take it as a time that, well, we canceled church service tonight. Let's just not go. Let's go visit. Let's fellowship. Helping the efforts if there's at all way possible that we can throughout this week. There's three revivals that's very local to pretty much a lot of us that are here. So let's try to, if we can, to go visit with them, fellowship. Anything else? This afternoon, what time does it start?
Right after the service.
Right after the service? Okay.
And then
after
the meal.
Okay. Gateway's having the singing or just?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure they're singing.
Okay.
Cumberland Valley Quartet.
Cumberland Valley Quartet. All right. Gateway's having a homecoming service today for anyone that would like to go and be with them. I think there's food, singing, so. Sounds like it'd be a good time of fellowship if you would like to do that. Anything else? If not, Brother James Parker, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?